Hey, super stoked to be with you this morning. God is so good and all the time right. And so I just want to welcome each of you here today. I see some new faces. Welcome. Glad you're here today. Whether you know this or don't know this, I want to declare something over you before we jump into the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you brought a Bible, phone, iPad, whatever it is you've got, swipe, open, do whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Whether you know this or not, we're in a season where God is moving us from what we've always known into what we haven't known. And what I mean by that is in order for us to go where God's called us to go as a church family, as a community of faith, it's going to require upgraded thinking. It's going to have to change some of the way we've thought about how we participate in church, what church really means, what it means to gather like this as a congregation. We don't do this here because this is what we're supposed to do. We could do this any night of the week, but Sunday is a historical time when we gather. So we gather on Sunday mornings for a purpose. The purpose is not to do religious duty or to simply do what we've been told we're supposed to do by a denomination, by a group of people, or for that matter, what revival circles tell us we're supposed to do. We gather together in anticipation that when we come together as a unified family, that we begin to anticipate what God's heart might be for the family that day. You'll notice often that I will confer with Candy or Pastor Craig or Pastor Renee or one of our team members to find out what do you sense God doing in the atmosphere right now for our family. And our language is going to be more and more that of hashtag MyCPLC family. We are a family. Whether you like it or don't like it, we are a family. And as family, we want, as moms and dads of the house, we want to upgrade the thinking, we want to upgrade the anticipation, we want to upgrade really how we function as a family. So as a healthy family, we can, in the next years to come, really fulfill the mandate, the missional mandate that God's given to this house. Kind of waiting for something, all right? Don't mean this badly, but we are a charismatic church, so talking out loud is okay. Yeah, there's Kel. You understand that? So here's the point, is that get ready. I'll give a phrase that Matt Gonzalez has used many times here. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we're about to step into something that's going to be so exciting. Some have wondered a bit, and I'm kind of off point, but I'll get back in a moment. Some have wondered a bit as to why we're building this team right now. We've got Landon will be with us the August the 10th. Our new student ministries pastor will be with us. He's moved from Stockton. He'll be moving down, and we're excited about that. Pastor Juan and Shelby are with us now, working with children. That's exciting. We've got Selene Gutierrez, Selene right here, who is going to begin and is beginning to work with Latinos here. How many know Pastor Barry has had a desire to really reach Latinos for a long time? And it's wonderful that God has brought someone we've known for 10 years now into our lives, probably longer than that, but specific to that, brought her into our lives and our family's life. And of course, Pastor Renee and Pastor Craig are with us forever. Not 5 years, but forever. And of course, many of you know that Pastor Danny has been out, is out today and had surgery this past week, recovering well, doing great, but she's home with her little guy, he's sick this morning. You know how that works? Like, can't just be one thing, but it has to be multiple things sometimes. But we're building a team right now, a broad team for a purpose. You may look around and go, well, you don't need that many people with a church this size. You need, one of the things that we have to upgrade our thinking with is we've got to stop thinking about church being how many people. Now, when God brings more people, we rejoice in that. But the goal cannot be more people. The goal's got to be maturity in the family. God's got to be us catching an idea as to what the ecclesia is. Oh, that's the New Testament word for the church, if you will, that we've got to upgrade our thinking, understanding that we're not supposed to come to church, we're supposed to be church. That we're supposed to not just show up for a meeting or a gathering, but when we come to a gathering, we are the body that gathers, the family that gathers for a purpose. And whatever you get today, whatever you sense from God, whatever he speaks to you, whatever encouragement you get, whether you feel nothing at all, you leave here understanding that you're the sent ones. That there's no other plan on the planet that God has for his body, his church, but to be the church, and that is to be the ones that leave the house and do what he's called us to do. And that's, if you work in the marketplace, to love people in the marketplace. Amen. Right? You say, well, I can't do what Nancy Becker does. You can't skim a pool? That's not very, very difficult to do, right? You don't take that as condemnation. Take that as, well, skimming a pool is not a big deal. But when you skim a pool, and then the outcome is the goodness of God comes out and manifests itself because they come out and go, why are you skimming our pool? They go, well, because God loves you and he loves me. And we're doing it because I like the pool. I want to swim in a clean pool. And no motive involved to get free nights. But guess what happens? Because God is good all the time. The benefit of kingdom lifestyle is God says, I'm going to bless you with a couple of extra nights because you chose to skim a pool or to fold a t-shirt. Or how about this? How about to love people? Yeah. See, historically, in our thinking, we think the motive behind what we do is to get people to come to church. See, it's wrong thinking. It's a mindset we've got to change. In order for us to bring a generation of my kids' age into the family called Crosspoint, we have to think differently. We have to love differently. We've got to do things better than what we've done in the past. So let me wrap this thought up because it's really somewhat preliminary to the message. But listen, this is what I'm thinking. We've been working on some things aggressively in-house, and hopefully in September, maybe end of August or so, we're going to unpack for you I'm going to call it a new missional mandate. What the mandate of Crosspoint Life Church is. What is it that we do and will forever do? What is our wheelhouse, right? Many people think because we've been a revival church that all we're supposed to do is just pray for the sick and those types of things. Those are awesome things. But listen to me, that's a personal mandate. We all should be praying for the sick. We should all be glorifying God. We should all be investing in one another. We should all be discipling, right? So that can't be our ultimate mandate. So the Father's revealed to us, I believe, what our mandate will be. And I will reveal that to you. We revealed this to our leadership at Caleb's Core last Sunday night. And I believe we've got something that God is going to allow us to utilize to keep us on point so that we don't go past where God's called this house to go. How many know that sometimes we can get so busy doing church that we miss out what God's called us to really be? How many have really been busy in church? I mean, listen to me. What we do inside the walls on Sunday specific is important. Like if you work in the kids area, we honor you because we recognize the price you pay. And I know sometimes if we have some, you know, speaker in here you want to hear, you're like, I don't want to work in there because I need my word. No, you don't need another word. You've got enough promises that God's given to you through his scripture and prophetic promises that you can war with. See, we have to begin to speak to our circumstances, and wrong thinking is one of those things. We've got to begin to speak to wrong thinking. So we bless those that work in the kids. We bless those that greet. We bless those with ushers. We bless the ushers. We bless everybody that makes Sunday what it is. We bless the Welcome Center, Cross Plains Central. We bless all of that. So if you serve in that capacity, thank you. But you won't miss out on the blessing of God because your Sunday, God will bless you for your faithfulness there. So we have to upgrade our thinking to recognize you're not missing anything. You have a chance to prophesy, to impart to a child that needs to hear that they're special. Our generation of kids need to know that God has a plan for their life. They need to know that culture is not the answer. They need to know that government's not the answer. They need to know that watching MTV 24/7 or whatever the channel or whatever the Netflix or whatever the Vudu or whatever the Amazon Prime or whatever it is, you won't find your satisfaction or you won't find your destiny in those places. We'll find them in the presence of Jesus. We'll find them in worship. How many, when you're worshiping God, like this morning, it was off the chart, you guys. Off the chart. What's going to happen when San Diego finds out what we've got here? I would put our team up against any team anywhere in San Diego, California, the United States. Not exaggerating, but I'm telling you, these are quality people that give every week. Feels like a Sunday of honor, right? We're honoring people today. But really, what happens, I'm not even sure I'm gonna get to my message this morning, but what happens is this. What happens is when the atmosphere of heaven comes to earth, and in the context of our worship expression, we begin to hear things and see things and feel things that we didn't hear, think, or feel before we walked in. Why is that? Because worship attracts the Father's heart. Worship attracts the presence of Holy Spirit. And so when you're in worship, you say, well, why do you guys worship so long? We go to this other church and we do 3 songs and in 20 minutes we're done. Exactly. Not being critical, I'm just saying that's their wheelhouse, but it's not ours. Because we have found that when we worship and contend and believe God for in a song, in a worship song, that in that song, God begins to declare something over the family of God. And when we begin to hear it and experience it and feel it, then God begins to move on your behalf. That's why you highlighted liver conditions. That's why when Jordan and the team begin to sing a song, you begin to resonate something inside your spirit that went, oh my goodness, that's for me today. Yeah. See, you don't need another message per se. I mean, we do it, right? Because you've got plenty that you need to probably contend for. But you see, the promises and the prophetic words that you've been given were not given to sit idle in the back of your whatever and collect dust. They were intended to take and to do warfare with. See, we've got to change the way we think. We don't have an encounter simply to have an encounter. We have an encounter with God that's supposed to change the way we live our lives. When you come into the presence of God and you hear something, feel something, taste something, experience the goodness of God, it's supposed to usher some kind of a change inside of us. Behavioral, specific. Now, sometimes it won't be behavior until you think it here. It starts here. But at some point, your knowledge, your understanding has got to come to a place where you step into what you know and begin to live it. Okay, so with that thought, let me just highlight a couple of things here. Does that make sense to you this morning? Yeah. I just want to encourage you guys, don't give up, man. Don't give up. If there's anything I've learned over the years, we've experienced a lot of loss. We've experienced a lot of joy. We've experienced a lot of things, up and downs over 15, almost 16, starting our 16th year next month. But listen, we've experienced a lot of things, but here's the reality. We could have, you can, at any time you want, give up and stop. You don't have to be steadfast. You don't have to be a warrior, right, Tommy? You don't have to do anything. But when you choose to, when you say, Father, you are my source of strength. You are my everything. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't want to be a pastor, even when I don't want to be a leader, even when I don't want to be whatever, I still am. And whether you understand or not, he loves you unconditionally. And you can't do anything to push him away. You can try it all you want to, but the Bible says he's the paraclete. Paracletes. He's the paraclete. He comes alongside of us, and he sticks closer than a brother. He is right there alongside of you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you turn your back, even when you do what you know you shouldn't do because your flesh dictates over your spirit, man, sometimes, he does not leave you. He does not forsake you. He loves you unconditionally, and he wants intimacy with you like you cannot believe. Way more than you want it, he wants it. Upgraded thinking. Change the way we think. God has called this church, this family called, hashtag, my CPLC. Late night with Jimmy Fallon. He's called us to do extraordinary things. And that's why we will not relent and continue to believe that the next 10, 15, 20 years are going to be our greatest years ever. And I'm not just, that's not just a prophetic word. That's a real deep down conviction in my heart. That if God will continue to give us strength and health and focus and intimacy and the things that we desire together as a leadership, together as a church family, we're going to step into the things that's been promised to us for 15 years. Yes. Anybody ready for that? Yes. Any of you ready to step into some things that you've been dreaming about, thinking about? Yes. Okay. Let me just leave this scripture with you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. One of my favorite passages. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in particular, I love this particular segment of scriptures. And I'm going to read it just because I think it warrants this. But verse 6 starts out, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." It's encouraging, right? "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed from before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers," let me just add a little PB insert here. "None of the government rulers, none of the educational rulers, none of the specific rulers of the age in which we live understood this. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written." Now here's what I want you to hear this morning. It's so ridiculously good for us today. "But it is written," verse 9, "what no eye has seen, what no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those that" what?
"Love him."
Love him. How many would agree that the key to God revealing his goodness to us is loving him? You see, he scoped you out first. Right? He found you. And because he found you and you were awakened, the veil was removed from your eyes, you were awakened to that reality that he was pursuing you. And you said, "I want relationship with you." I don't know where all of you are this morning in terms of relationship with Jesus. But this I'll say to you, if you want the more of God, if you want the upgraded thinking, if you want to truly know what God has planned for you, I think 1 Corinthians 2:9 says it pretty clearly. "Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for you, for me, and for us." So redonkulous. Look at verse 10. Such a cool verse. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." What mind can understand that one? The depths of God? "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And it goes on. What I want to leave with you today is very simple. Do you know, I used this phrase years ago in this house, there is a good in God. We say God's good all the time, and it's true. But in context of this phrase, we say it this way. There's a good, there's a better, and then there's God's best. I think a lot of us settle for good. If we didn't so-called sin this week, we've done good. Right? If I didn't flip off the person that cut me off on the road, I've had a good week. Not me, I'm just saying. I don't flip a bird too often, but Mr. Tall Man, hello, I love you, one way to Jesus. And then maybe you're upgrading thinking, well, that, you know, it was a good week, but boy, I went 2 weeks in a row. That's even better yet. And if you go a month, man, I've got God's best in my life. Here's what I want us to leave thinking about today. Etch a sketch that all away and let God begin to redefine the parameters for how you function in your intimacy with him. Because if what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 is true, that there are things prepared for us that we're not even aware of because we love him, they're called mysteries. Mysteries are things we don't quite understand. They're you know, you like to read a mystery novel because you don't know who killed whom or who did what, when, where, and how. Well, there's a lot of mysteries that we live with, the tension in our walk with God. But I have news for you. Because Holy Spirit searches the deeper things of God, it's found, you want the mysteries revealed? It's found through relationship with Holy Spirit. Because it says those mysteries are revealed through the person of Holy Spirit, the things that God has prepared for you. So we have to upgrade our thinking. And part of the way we upgrade our thinking is you've got to begin to function at a higher level as sons and daughters. Not allow stinking thinking to dictate how you walk with Jesus. When you begin to say things like this, and I do it without even thinking about it, you stupid idiot. What have I just done? I've just cursed myself. Ridiculous. What's wrong with you? Can't you? And I begin to speak things out of my spirit that are contrary to what God says about me. You don't have to respond to this, but how many of us do that in this room? Life and death is found in the power of your toe. Oh, I'm sorry, tongue. Some of you are like, really? My toe? No, your tongue. So how many understand that if you declare something as good, it has power in it? What happens if you begin to upgrade your thinking? You begin to walk around your house declaring the goodness of God. What happens if you begin to speak life over your children? What happens if we begin to operate in an opposite spirit than the one we've been functioning in? I'm telling you today, God is raising your capacity to understand that he has things prepared for you that are so amazing, so brilliant, so fantastic, but they're right now a complete mystery to you. Here you go. It's time for you to get alone with God. Can I ask you a question? How many struggle with alone time? Be honest. I do. I like loudness, I like busyness. I grew up watching TV, doing homework. Yeah. Bugs Bunny Hour. Roadrunner. Right, baby? But but I learned how to do things with noise around me. We're raising a generation that's even worse than that, right? You only have to read. But here's what I want to challenge us with today. It's these mysteries revealed are found when you're alone with the Father and he begins to show you things that you didn't previously know. That's mystery revealed. And I want to challenge us during the summertime to find more time with the Father, to get alone with Jesus. Because listen, there's some things he needs to correct in a lot of us in this room, including myself. We need to give permission to spank us when he needs to spank us, so to speak. I know we don't do that in the culture today. But maybe you need to give God permission to correct you and discipline you. Because discipline is huge when it comes to correction. Doesn't mean abuse. It just means turning us towards the direction we need to go. Why do you think the shepherds had a crook in their shepherd's staff to put around that sheep's neck and change the course of direction? Because sheep are dumb. They are, though. And sadly, we're called the sheep in the Bible. We're not always so smart. We follow things we shouldn't follow. And sometimes it takes Jehovah's, not just a nudge, but it takes a major kick in the head to get us back on course. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. Keep your eyes on Jesus, man. Get alone with God. You know, what would happen? Listen, remember when Jacob had his encounter with the angel of the Lord? It said he wouldn't let go of the angel of the Lord until what? The angel blessed him. Why do you think that was? I believe that Jacob knew what he was wrestling for. I believe Jacob had an understanding that if he left that encounter not changed, now look in hindsight, when we read the scripture, his name would never change to Israel. He'd have still been the same person, struggling with forgiveness against Esau, his brother. But because of that encounter, he said, I will not let go of you until you bless me. And the angel of the Lord, and many scholars believe that was actually Jesus, said, okay, Jacob, it's going to cost you something. And he knocked his hip out of joint. And forever, two things happened with that man. One, he walked with a limp. And two, his name was never ever again Jacob. It's now called Israel. That kind of encounter where your name is changed is pretty powerful. But let me suggest to you this morning that your name has been changed because of an encounter with God. You are no longer an orphan, but you are now our sons and daughters of God. You were called by your name, by the Father in heaven. Amos, I believe it says, no, it's not Amos, but there's a scripture that talks about, forgive me for not referencing it properly, but we're friends of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We sit in heavenly places with him. Listen, those that don't know Christ don't sit in heavenly places with Jesus. Right? So, he's changing your position. He's changing who you are. He's changing the way you think. He's changing the way you function as sons and daughters. Ultimately, why would he do that? Why would he reveal mysteries to you? I'll tell you why. Because we have a world to win. We have a kingdom that you belong to. We have a king that is our Savior, and we're royalty. And as sons and daughters in that kingdom, it's time for us to advance the cause of the kingdom and move it forward by walking it out the mysteries of God and giving away the goodness of God and loving people that are unlovely and not allowing culture to dictate your theology. It's time to stop letting culture define your theology. Jesus is perfect theology. And what Jesus did, you do, and I can do. And that's why we pray for the sick. That's why we love the unlovely. And that's why we fight for those that are struggling in life, because we believe their future is amazing in God. Amen? Okay. So I shared a verse of scripture from my message. The rest was just what God wanted to say today. Stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. How many know God's good? Come on, say it with me. God is good. All the time. In Jesus' name, I bless you today. I pray his face shine on you like it's never shone before. I pray that you'd begin to be awakened to his goodness and his kindness. And may 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 resonate in your life this week. May you begin to recognize that the things that you've thought, the things you've seen, the things you've imagined are just a small hangnail of what he wants to reveal to you. But the way he will reveal it to you is simple. You need time alone. And that's what happened with Jacob. He got alone, he had an encounter, and it changed his life forever. How many are ready for a new encounter with God? Be ready. Listen to me. Be ready. Because once you have the encounter, don't let it just come become this thing where that was good, thanks God, but tomorrow it's completely wiped out. Let the encounter awaken you to his goodness and then step into that new place. Right? God's good, man. Jesus, thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that's here today. God, I thank you for the guests that have come. I bless them. I pray that they have the most amazing day of their life. I pray this week would just be so fantastic. And may everyone in this room recognize and understand, whether they feel it or don't feel it, that God is good all the time. Culture may try to paint a different picture and spin it, but we must come back to the reality of what your word teaches us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should what? Not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We thank you for John 10:10 this morning, that you've come to give us abundant life. Oh yeah, there's a thief out there that wants to rip us off. But God, we declare John 10:10, the second part, verse part B, that you've come to give us abundant life. So I speak abundant life over everyone today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.